friend of mine called me who's got some connections in the military. He said, let me make some phone calls. Maybe we'll have to run down there and get them some fuel. I said, I'm in. I'm in. Who cares where we got to go and what it looks like? Because we only got one shot at this. Amen? Who wants to sit in Hudson the rest of your life? Not me. I want to go see it all and do whatever God's called us to. Amen? So I just want to encourage you. Please lift them up in prayer. If you want to get a hold of Kim, you can get their email address. Or if you have it, shoot them an email and encourage them. Because sometimes when you're locked in your house and there's no place to go, you know what that feels like sometimes. You experienced a little bit of it. But when there's nothing outside to go and grasp, you have to trust God. So I want to encourage you, just lift them up and the whole island, obviously, as they go through this tumultuous time. You know, one of the things that Pastor Larry shared last week when he was here with an amazing word that he brought, and obviously, key is prior to that, because favor ain't fair. And we know that, amen? Just tell your neighbor, say, he favors me a little more. Hey, you can believe what you want. That's what I'm believing. That's what I'm believing. But you know, Pastor Larry brought up one point about Singapore last week and how they, when they go out, they wear pins. And the pin is a computer chip. And then they have sensors everywhere. Wherever you walk, those sensors go off and says who you talked to, where you were, what store you were in, everything you bought, all of it. It monitors it all. The entire island. You know how it started? They said, our island's the most beautiful one. It's been voted one of the most beautiful ones on the planet. We want to keep it that way. So we're going to outlaw bubble gum. The chewing bubble gum. Chewing gum. They started with something small to see if they could get the whole country to fall in line with getting rid of chewing gum. And then eventually, everybody now wears a pin and they're monitored everywhere they go. And you know what some of the leaders said over there in Singapore? Why don't the Americans just do what the government tells them to do? That's their mindset now, right? Because that's what socialism does. You no longer have a say. You just are a bunch of subjects. We came out of that a couple hundred years ago. But if the church doesn't wake up, we're going back to that. Somebody's going to have to stand. And I know it's tough. And there's a certain organization that we can't mention that we heard a certain person share of a certain email that went out. That this organization said, you're going to go on leave for the next 3 months with no pay if you don't take the shot. And you cannot work anywhere else. Yeah. Who in their right mind is going to go along with that stupidity? Right? If we don't pay you, your family doesn't eat. Who makes up these diabolical rules? Right? Men and women that are out of control, that have got a liberal, I shouldn't say a liberal, because this is way beyond a progressive agenda, trying to push this country into a place where you don't have any more freedoms. And guess what freedom they really want? This pulpit right here. All the rest of it has to do with the devil shutting down the word of God being preached. And he's going after little bitty pieces at a time. Chewing gum. That's where it started. It's a game that they're playing. And my prayer is that the church wakes up and they start to stand. You know what? It's costing the Hassingers right now. It's costing the pastors that are over in Egypt. It's costing the men and women that are preaching the gospel in Iran and Iraq, a lot of them underground. It's costing them something. Hasn't cost us much in a long time. Now it's getting ready to cost us something. Are you willing to pay? Are you willing to stand up and say, listen, as for me and my house, sorry, that's not happening. I don't agree. I want to encourage you. The fourth, you're going to vote. You might better pay attention to your vote. Maybe you haven't voted. Shame on you. You're 18 or over. Oh, the second. Sorry, not the fourth. The second. Don't go on the fourth. November 2nd, when you go to vote. If you don't vote, it's not worth my time. Shame on you. Go live in Russia or somewhere else. Go live in China then. Yep. Find out what it's like if you won't vote. The Bible says when the righteous rule, what happens? People rejoice. What happens when the unrighteous rule? The people groan. What you doing right now? There's some groanings that can't even be uttered right now. Some people say, well, you shouldn't preach politics in the church. I'm not. I'm preaching righteousness. You're the righteous. And if you don't rule, guess what happens to everything around us? Everything you enjoy disappears. Everything starts to disappear. We've watched it happen. They're going after that freedom that we have to shut up the word of God. This isn't about you. This is about Jesus Christ. This is about righteousness being preached. This is about being able to stand up and say that every sin has to be checked at the door before we can walk in freedom in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Every single one is quite clear. Whatever it is, listen, where there's addictions and people are wasting money and destroying themselves because they believe the lie more than they believe the truth. Isn't that what it boils down to? One day I didn't believe that I was saved. Then I got a hold of the truth and the truth said, if you believe, you shall be saved. Amen? So I had to exchange the lie that I was lost, I was a heathen, I was a fool, and I was a moron to someone who has been redeemed. Tell your neighbor, say, I've been redeemed. Right. Before we lived foolish lives before Jesus Christ. Then we started to believe, I am redeemed. The price has been paid for your yesterdays, todays, and tomorrows. You've been redeemed. Done. Done deal. Done deal. You've been redeemed. Some people say, well, you don't understand, Pastor. The problem, whether it's addiction, whether it's adultery, whether it's fornication, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's transgenderism, whatever it is, everything has to submit to the word of God. Everybody, amen? Tell your neighbor, say, that means you. If we don't get it right in the church, how dare we open our mouths outside the church? He's going to shake the church first. He's got to. It was being prayed this morning in prayer. Lord, cause us to be changed so that the world will be changed. Some have been sitting. Many in the church have been sitting, doing very little when it comes to going back to the word in prayer or even sharing their faith. This is what we've been recreated for. The world is chasing after finances and expanding their kingdoms. We're to expand one kingdom, amen? Yeah, well, Pastor, I tried faith and it didn't work. Faith never fails. Faith never fails. When you stand on the word of God and said, this is my truth, this is what I'll have, and I'm not moving from it, no matter how I feel, no matter what anyone has said, no matter what I've experienced, if your experience goes outside the word of God, or it's not what the word of God has said, then you're still going to have to come in line with the word of God. Because we are not building the kingdom on your experience. Amen? Amen? Tell your neighbors, I don't care about your experience. I care about the word of God. Come on, tell them. I care about the word of God in you. That's our truth.
Amen.
That is the truth. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the truth. And if he's Lord, everything is submitted to him. Everything. Every desire, every passion, every plan, every purpose that you have in your heart has to come and be submitted to him. Nothing can outweigh what he has spoken the church to do, what he has told the church to do. He said, I've got a job for you. Change the world. That's it. When you're done with that, go home with him, he said. Isn't that what he said? Go and make bread. Go and make money. Go and make houses. He said, go and make disciples. It's real simple. If we are spending all of our time doing something else, we got to realign our lives. We got to realign. Say, Lord, this is a season that's coming in my life that there's going to be a greater price to pay. There's going to be a greater price. Please, don't leave it to your children to fight for you. Don't leave it to our teenagers to fight for you. Don't leave it to the next generation to bail us out. How many people are, well, I'm already set. I'm good. I'm okay. I'm good right now. I don't have to worry anymore. Your children ain't set. Your grandchildren ain't set. Your great-grandchildren ain't set. They're expecting us, the body of Christ, to stand on the promises of God and not move until death do us part this planet. We are the bride of Christ. Amen? Amen. This is about not moving from the truth. Today's Reformation Sunday. It's time to reform. It's not Happy Halloween. It's Happy Reformation Day. Amen? Amen? So just tell your neighbors, say Happy Reformation Day. Okay, now say it three times fast. Come on. The enemy always tries to steal what God wants to do, doesn't he? He always tries to bring in a distraction. Some people get caught up in it because of tradition. They nullify the word of God, or they say, no, I'm going to enjoy the world and the word. We're going to have to make a decision. Martin Luther said, faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that a man could stake his life on it 1,000 times. I know not the way God leads me, but well do I know my guide. I don't know where I'm going, but by golly, I know where I'm going is a good place. Wherever he takes me, though none go with me, still I'll follow. Amen? Look, maybe you feel like you're all alone this morning. Sorry, I'm way off topic, just so we're clear. I got 3 words, though. I don't care. But maybe you feel like you're all alone this morning. Maybe you feel like you've been beat up. Maybe you feel like you've been isolated. Maybe you feel like, well, my prayers haven't been answered by God in my timing. That's all right. And by golly, I'm putting my foot down. Amen. Maybe that's you this morning. I want to tell you, lift up your foot. Lift it up and keep walking towards him. Okay, because once again, your circumstance doesn't dictate God. Thank God we have a God a little bigger than your circumstances, amen? Thank God we have a God that's a little bit bigger than your problem. We've got a God that's incredible. The omnipotent, omniscient, all-power, the almighty. Tell your neighbor, say, there's none like my God. See, the issue is we've got to, as the church, we can't move from that. No matter what you feel, no matter what you've experienced, no matter what's going on in your life, it's still, we can't move from, oh, there's none like my God. There's nothing like the word of God. There's nothing like the call that God has in my life. There's nothing like the purpose that God is perpetrating in my life. There's nothing like the infilling of the power of the Holy Ghost inside of me. Nothing compares. Therefore, I'll chase nothing else besides Christ and the gift of God. Nothing else can compare. Maybe you feel isolated. I got 2 words for you today. You're not. You're not by yourself. You're not lost. You're not a lost cause. Tell your neighbor, say, you're incredible. Tell your other neighbor, say, yep. Yeah. Yeah. You see, because so much of what we're hearing rips, tears, divides, and destroys. We come into the body of Christ. We've got to build, encourage, strengthen, and fortify according to the word of God, not according to man. Because the laws of this, listen, when we live out the word of God, we live way above the laws of this land. We do. Sometimes we have a little trouble with the laws of this land. Yeah. I forget which president it was. Was it Ford? I think he came up with that silly 55 mile an hour speed zone. I think it was him. Maybe Carter. I can't remember. Maybe I think it was Carter. I think it was Carter. Yep, 55. See, that's where I agree with some bands. They said they can't do that. Me neither. But we have to. We have to obey the laws of the land until they come in conflict with the word of God. And then I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to stand for my family, for my generation. Because David, you only have one generation that you're going to reach. Amen? Some of you, your generation is disappearing. Yeah. Right? Some, yeah. My mom's 80 years old. There's some of them that are disappearing. My father said the other day, he goes, yeah, our friends are dropping like flies. It's a reality that happens in life. Amen? He's 83 years old. And he's watching them one after another, the friends. We got one shot. At what age do we decide that life is better than death? At what age do we decide that bringing life into people's lives is better than just waiting around to die? Or making enough just for me and mine so I can hang out and do very little rather than do what the King has called me to do? What is it? When do we get to that place? When do we get to that place? It says, Lord, you know what? Whatever you want is good with me. Man, when we get there, Friday night we were out in Philmont. And Matt and Christina were running Philmont on a Friday night. And how many kids were there? Kids was over 30. It was over 30 kids and then some adults. So we did a 10-foot banana split. 10-foot long banana split. It was incredible. You know what I found out? You can't buy a 10-foot piece of gutter pipe. Not plastic. And nobody has them. Because anything made with petroleum. Well, that's what happens when you shut down the oil. Everything made with plastic comes to a screeching halt. Geniuses we have in government. But I couldn't find a plastic one, so I had to buy a metal one. And then had to line the sharp edges with stuff, and we put saran wrap in it. Took 5 gallons of ice cream and all kinds of pineapple and strawberries, chocolate syrup and caramel syrup, sprinkles and whipped cream, baby. 10 feet long. And them little suckers ate it all. There was a certain gentleman in this church came back for seconds, and I'm not mentioning any names, just so we're clear. Wanted a little extra caramel, a little extra chocolate. His wife wasn't there, so he was okay. But, you know, this is what happens, man. And all of them babies sitting there, and I just wanted them to know how precious they were and how beautiful they were, how powerful they are, and to tell them what God said. In a couple minutes, I had each side screaming louder than the other side about how they love Jesus and a competition who could scream louder. Let me tell you something. Those babies know what the truth is. They're drawn to it when you tell them the truth. No matter where you walk in people, every human being knows the truth when you start to speak it. But some of them, their lifestyle is so contrary that they draw away from you. Don't stop speaking the truth. Don't stop. When you walk in, you're the light of the world. Just wanted to encourage you today. You're the warriors of righteousness. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, I am righteous. Tell your other neighbor with an attitude, though. I mean, like you really mean it. I am righteous. I am righteous. See, some of you didn't even say it to your neighbor. Oh, God, use me. I ain't saying what that preacher says. He ain't my daddy. And who he thinks he is, but I don't have to do what he says. Because some have a hard time believing it. This is what Martin Luther's whole focus was. I want to read the two things that I got to jump. Oh, man, what a mess. It's a wonderful mess. One of the pictures that he had that changed his life. As a 14-year-old, there was a piece in the church that showed a boat sailing toward heaven. In the boat were the Pope, the cardinals, bishops, monks, and priests. This is not a joke. Okay. Stop it. Just stop it. All right? The other ones were tending to the oars and sails and were casting ropes to the laymen who were struggling in the water. Some were clinging to the ropes while others were drowning. No laymen were in the boat and no clergy were in the water over the ship. Over the ship, they were directing its course. Was the Holy Spirit. And it was a picture that the laity were utterly dependent on the clergy for their salvation. Only those declared saved by the priests were actually saved. That was one of the pictures that changed his life. Can I tell you how many people are in church today that still believe that? That still believe that you need a man in order to get into heaven. There's only one person you need to know to get into heaven, and his name is Jesus Christ. Church has always tried to separate laity and those in leadership. Can I tell you, there is no separation. Some churches get hung up on titles. Men running around trying to add another title to their name these days. The newest one is the apostle, right? We've gone through the priest and the bishop and all of these and the cardinal and the pope, and those are all been used for a long time, and then it became the apostle and the prophet. They came into vogue. And then men, after they did very little, started calling themselves by that name because man was looking for a name to call himself, to give him something more or to lift himself up above others. We have different functions in the body of Christ, but we're all the same in God's eyes. Amen? I pastor here only because that's my function. Titles? The way that I see it is if Jesus was good enough for Jesus, Jerome is good enough for Jerome. Amen. Really that simple, amen? Because if it takes a title, if you're working towards getting a title or thinking that a title is going to change your life, you're sadly mistaken. Here's what changes your life: believing in Jesus Christ. Here's what strengthens you: being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Here's what makes you new: renewing your mind by the Word of God. Daily. Daily. A church. We're talking to the church. Daily. We're not talking to the world. We're talking to the church. Daily. That means not only you, but everybody in your house. Well, Pastor, I don't want to put that kind of pressure on people. Now it's pressure to do what's right. Now it's pressure to teach the truth. You see, because in my house, there's a certain standard of living. And that's the way it's going to be inside my house. Outside my house, I don't have no control over anybody else's house. But inside my house, this is the way we do it. When people step outside, do what you got to do. But if anybody's living in my house, you're going to church. I don't want to go to church. Get out of my house. How hard is that? I pay the bills. I saw this little thing on the news. It was Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal, basketball player. He's hysterical. But he said, I tell my boys all the time, we ain't rich, I'm rich, he said. He said, they didn't do nothing. They don't have nothing. The only thing they have is what I give them. And then, but inside my house, see, my house is a place that God blessed us with. And so what I wanted to have in my house is the Word of God read, and I wanted to have time in prayer. And yet some Christians were talking about not, tell your neighbor, say it's not all about you. All right. People are like, oh, I knew he came to my house the other day and there was dust on the Bible. Now, I wasn't looking for your Bible, all right? It's not about you every minute. But in the body of Christ now, heaven forbid we set a standard. You know what happens when we stop setting the standard, the Word of God as the standard? Then the world sets the standard because somebody's going to set it. Somebody's going to set it. The second picture that he had was a gentleman by the name of Prince William Anhalt, and he became a monk, and he was begging in the streets. He was begging in the streets thinking that utter poverty was the only way, denying everything in this world and living in poverty was the only way that he could really be pure. And he could actually walk in righteousness. So he said, then he looked at that, and it was about works. And so he said, I want to become a monk, and I'm going to give up everything in this world. I'm going to have nothing. I'm going to own nothing. And then I will be righteous in the eyes of God. Then I will be on par, and I will be able to accomplish what God told me to do. And then he found out works didn't do it. He found out works didn't do it. It was only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. Amen? And that's his blood enough to wash away our sins and walking in his righteousness. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through what? And it's not of yourselves, it is the what? Gift from God. Tell your neighbor, say, it's a gift of God. Right. Your righteousness is a gift from God when you simply believe. There's no way we're not going to give you a piece of paper. It's like the goofy system that they have now in our government where now I have to write letters for people that want a tax-exempt status in their jobs. You don't need a letter from me. That is your religion. It is your belief. You don't have to qualify by hitting certain marks. It's what you believe as long as you can explain what you believe. That's all you need. According to the Constitution. But the government comes in and says, well, we don't believe you. We need somebody else to say, yeah, you really are saved. I'm not going to sit here and say that you really are saved. I can't. What, am I now the judge of who's saved and who isn't? How can I do that? Now we're going to have a scale. Okay, everybody has to get water baptized again just to prove that you're really saved. We're going to check your W-2, make sure you gave 10%, make sure you're really saved. What are we going to do? Set up a whole scale to try to figure out who's really saved. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes. Do you believe that his blood was enough to wash away your sins? Yes. Do you believe he's now the judge of your life? Yes. And then one day you're going to stand before him. Yes. Right. Do you believe your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Yes. You guys sound like a bunch of Christians. I'm going to look up at the TV for a minute because now we have to start to act like a bunch of Christians. Because when the church acts like the church, it changes everything. When the church acts like the church and we start to say it's by grace that I've been saved, it was the love of God that brought me into a right relationship with himself. It was the love of God. None of us had enough common sense wisdom or understanding to get saved. Somebody has been praying for you for a very long time. It's the only reason why you got saved is because God's grace was upon someone else and they cried out for you. Don't think you did anything. The Bible says that without God, we are nothing. He gets all the glory. You get, tell your neighbor, say, you get none of this glory. John 8, 31 and 32, then Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. If you what? Continue in my word. If you continue in YouTube, you're my disciples. If you continue on Facebook, tearing each other apart, then you're my disciples. If you want to be the one that is right and you argue with everybody else trying to prove your point on Facebook, then you're my disciples. No, that's what the enemy loves to do. He loves Christians trying to bring dissension among one another, fighting amongst one another. How about we start to agree with one another? And if you got a problem with a brother or a sister on Facebook, go to their house. Be a man. Be a woman. We want to make sure you girls are included in this, you know. A lot of you are on Facebook also, all right? He said, if you're going to study my word, if you're going to stay in it, you're going to be my disciple. He said, and you shall know the truth. You don't have to study the lie, do you? All you got to do is study the truth. All you got to do is study it. You teenagers, when you walk into school, if you're reading the word of God, you study the truth. And then they bring up some garbage book that you got to read. My son came home and was supposed to watch a movie for a certain class about the lore, the folklore. From a certain ethnicity. We're going to watch this movie. And if everybody in the class doesn't sign the permission slip, then we're not watching the movie. We just kept him home for the day because everybody else is going to watch it. Go ahead and watch it. I don't watch horror movies. I don't care if it is folklore. I don't care if it is about history. I ain't watching it. And there ain't no reason to subject my kids in school to that kind of stuff. We watched the trailer just to see what it was about. Scared the bejakers out of me. I'm looking at this, I'm like, I can't even finish watching the trailer. I hate that stuff. What? Why do we want to pump fear into a generation? What are you laughing at? She's laughing at me because they got afraid. Women in scary movies are scary. It was. I couldn't watch the whole thing, I'm telling you. And I certainly don't want that junk in front of my kids' eyes. So we keep them home. Now we got to write a note why he was home. Because I wanted him home. It's going to have to be enough. He's my son. See, I know the truth. He's my son. Right? And if I want to keep him home, I'm keeping him home. It's that simple. I'm not making something up. He went to the doctor. Football's almost over. He's probably going to have to go see the doctor, but that's not why he stayed home. He stayed home because we made a decision. I don't want that junk in his eyes. Simple. How about we stop putting junk in our eyes as the sons and daughters of God? Yeah, but Pastor, I can't tell you how many times I heard this, and I'm going to close my eyes. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. I love scary movies. They don't bother me. I'm opening them again. Everything that you put into you does something to you.
That's right. Come on.
Everything. When you watch it, these millennials are so desensitized to killing because of the video games. They all think they come back to life with a little power pack. Wrap your wrist. I'm good. They can shoot me 75 times. I can jump tall buildings with a single bound. This is what they've come to believe and think, and they've devalued life like there's no tomorrow. What you put before your eyes either helps or hinders. It either builds or it tears down. Amen? There is no in between. It either builds or it's going to tear down. What you put in your mouth and you eat is either going to help your body or eventually it's going to hurt your body. We first got married. My wife used to drink a 2-liter of Coke a day. Thank God she came north. I was drinking a gallon of milk a week. She was drinking 2 gallons of soda a week. Both of them were out of order. If she kept that up, she wouldn't have a tooth in her head right now. And I'd been this big around by now, saying, honey, push me around in a wheelchair. So whatever goes in, we've got to be mindful of also. Why? Because your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And we want to keep you preaching because you're good preachers. We want to keep people in the mission field. Why? Because you're here to change the world and make disciples. What you put before your eyes, you're putting junk, building fear, all that stuff that tears apart. How many of the Christian movies have you watched? We got Right Now Media. It's free. We pay for it. You get it for free. Don't show hands. How many don't even know that? How to get on it? How many never bothered? It's all Christian. Oh, it's all Christian. Yeah. That's all right. We get enough of that on Sunday morning. Hour and a half of him and I had enough. We're the body. When do the things of this world not consume and control us? When? When do we stand at this body? Listen, I want to encourage you, get here early in prayer. You got teenagers, I want to encourage you, get them here Wednesday night. I want to encourage you. It can't be an option. Well, they didn't feel like it, did they? Did they feel like being an infant their whole life? Do you feel like going to hell? Then don't tell them about the Word of God. Don't teach the Word of God. Don't preach the Word of God. Are we okay with our neighbors going to hell? Because we're so afraid of their opinion of us. They already think you're a wacko anyway. Tell them about Jesus. Who cares if they badmouth you? You know how many people have badmouthed you already? Pretty much everybody that met you and left. Do you care about their opinion? Or do we care about the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ? That it was for freedom that Christ set us free. He found out in Romans 1:17, he said, the righteous will live by faith. And in Romans 2:38, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. So it's not about works. We have our freedom in Jesus Christ. Amen? But we're going to have to be like the church. You know what the church does? They rule in righteousness. With great mercy, because we get that brand new every morning. And with great grace, because we've all stumbled. It is, all have sinned and fallen what? Sure. All have what? Tell your neighbor, say, that's you. That's you. That's right. All have. We're not lifting ourselves above anyone else. We're all in this together. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Because that was enough to wipe away all of your weaknesses, your failures, your foolishness that you committed. Can we stop doing the same thing we did for the last 10 years? Look at, remember we had the religious right, with Jerry Falwell. What were two of the biggest things they fought against? Abortion and homosexuality. Did they go away? How many millions of dollars did we spend in the courts and it didn't change it? What are we supposed to be giving our money and our time to? Making disciples, because that changes an entire area. I'm not against those guys that are fighting. Look, we need ACLJ, Jay Sekulow, and them guys fighting for us in Washington. I'm not against it. What'd you say? Oh, I thought I said the wrong name. We need those entities in there fighting for our freedoms, not arguing against that. But they thought if we all get together and we bombard the courts, we'll win. If we all get together and we bombard the courts of heaven, we win. But not in the courts of man, we're not going to win it, because it's always an issue of the heart and not by laws. Because if we can change a heart, they can change the laws. And this is what God's called us to do, to be men and women of God, to stand on the word of God. It's by grace through faith that we have been saved. And 2 Timothy 2:15 in closing said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Can you have a conversation? Can we? For those that have been here 5, 10 years, can we have a conversation outside the walls of the church where you're not worried about a question that's going to be answered because we've studied to show ourselves approved? Where we even have the humility to say, I don't know that answer. Can I go look it up for you? Because we're not asking. Everything's an open book test. Amen? But it's for us to start the conversation. And it says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Many churches have proclaimed openness or inclusion to abortion, same-sex marriage, ordaining homosexuals, assisted suicide, infanticide, where it's okay to kill children within 1 year of birth. These are some of the laws that they're passing. And some men and women of God have stood up and say, well, I agree with the laws of the land. What kind of a sick thing has been built where now we get rid of the young, we get rid of the old, and we get rid of the handicapped because they're too much of a tax on the rest of us? Jesus said he came for the weak. He came for the feeble. He came for those that were downtrodden. He said that's pure religion, taking care of the widows and the orphans. Amen? This is what Jesus said, the complete opposite of what the lawmakers are saying. And their hearts aren't changed, not because of the laws. Their hearts aren't changed because we've got to get preaching it more. We've got to make more disciples. We've got to get rid of all the cares of this world, and we've got to dive in and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve. Therefore, we've got one night that's a ministry night in the house that's open to people that want to hear about the word of God. That's what I want to encourage you to do. There's no reason there's not a Bible study in every house that's represented here. Once a week, twice a week, 3 times a week, 4 times a week. Yeah, but Pastor, I got a gift of a teacher, then teach. I got a gift of a pastor, then pastor people. If you love people, they'll come next to you, amen? If there's nobody coming around you, please come and see me because we got deliverance that needs to take place. Delivering those thoughts in our minds. If nobody wants to be around you, there's a reason. And we're supposed to be the church, right? We're the ones that are set free. Woo! Filled with the Holy Ghost and power. My goodness, we're here to change the world. How come nobody's around me? How come nobody comes near me? I don't know. But let's sit down and talk. Because when you love people, people will come around you. But when we're caught up in the world, we're too busy. We limit what God can do through us. Amen? So I know it's a little bit different. This is Reformation time, and we need to reform how we're living. Jesus was the reformer. They were going to kill the woman caught in adultery. Jesus was either going to go against the rules of the law of the land or the law of Moses. They thought they had him trapped. And Jesus brought him back to saying, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. Right? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Martin Luther comes later on because the Catholic Church was saying, you got to buy these indulgences. Man always tries to corrupt the word of God for his own advancement. Man always tries to do that. They were trying to build St. Peter's Cathedral or Basilica over there, and they were trying to raise money. And they said, hey, if you give us extra money, we'll give you this slip of paper, and therefore, you won't have to stay in purgatory as long. Yeah, you're going to have to go there, but we'll get you out of there quicker. And if you give us a little bit more money, we'll even get your family out a little bit quicker too. Yeah, that's how much power we have as mere man. And people were given money. Why? Because sin pervades every life. Right? Every one of us deal with it. And they knew they could keep them trapped and feeling guilty and shameful. Thank God Jesus Christ set us free. You're not guilty anymore if you know Jesus Christ. No more shame on your life. Stop thinking about your mistakes. Stop it. You think about his righteousness and that alone. Stand up this morning. If you're a first-time visitor, welcome. Welcome to the body of Christ. Because we're serious about our faith. We're serious about the call of God on our lives. We're serious about people's lives being changed. We're serious about getting out there and transforming our communities. We're serious about what God has called us to do. We're serious about it. And if you've come in and you've come from another church, we just say, welcome, we love you. We appreciate you, and we're thankful that you're in church. We're thankful that you want to know who Jesus Christ is. Our lives have changed because of one moment with the King. And he wants to change every life in this house as we draw closer to him. Amen? This is that day. This is that day that he has ordained. It's a glorious one out there. It's glorious. All right, maybe a little bit more rain than we need right now. But and all the contractors said, amen. Yeah. But it's a glorious day, and it is a day of salvation. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I just want to say, listen, there's one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. And there is no salvation without the shedding, or there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And it's only the blood of Jesus Christ that we find remission of sins. And as we said earlier, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And therefore, without him, it's an impossibility to be free. But with him, we can be free. There's a world out there that needs you. It needs the words of life to flow out of you. Not the words of death, not the words of gossip, not the words of complaining, not the words of bitterness. All of those things are to be swallowed up and thrown under the blood of Jesus Christ, never to be seen of again. Amen? God hates the division, and we can't have it in our lives. Not in your home. Every marriage here, I'm going to look at the camera again, all right? Every marriage, whatever's going on in your marriage, no matter how strong it is, how many years you've been married, we got 34 years. We still have some changes to make, don't you? Don't we? She knows. She knows. She just looks at me and rolls her eyes, whatever. She knows. No matter how strong it is, no matter how weak it is, there's work to be done, and there's one way through it, and that's through the Word. Yes. And no matter what my wife does not give me the freedom to act like a pellet head. And no matter what I do doesn't give her freedom to act like a pellet head. Because no matter what she does, I still have to agree with the Word of God and speak the Word of God over my bride and over my children and over my grandchildren. You're getting more of them, and it's incredible. And no matter what I do, she has to speak the word over me. And when we make that decision that the truth is more powerful than anything that's happened to us or anything that I've done or anything that she's done, we win. Amen. And every marriage wins. And guess what happens when every marriage wins? Then all the kids win. Guess what happens? Then the community starts to win too, because then there's victory that people see through the power of God's word. So I don't care how strong or how weak your marriage is. I want you to know it's time for growth. It's time to change where you're at, take it to another level. And this is what God's desire is for his kids. We're to be a picture of the bride making herself ready for the groom to come so that people look at the church and say, I want what they have. Isn't that what God did with Israel? God blessed Israel beyond their wildest dreams because he wanted every other nation to be so jealous for what they had and the way that they got to live so close to God that they would all come. And what did Israel do? Squandered it. What's America done? Squandered it. But the church, we can't squander the presence of God, the power of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We've got to implement it in each one of our lives so that he's glorified. Amen? He's glorified. Tell your neighbor one more time, not you, him. Tell your other neighbor and just look at him and nod. Yep. Yep. All right. It's not about us getting any glory. It's about us surrendering who we are. And then what he wants to do through you, they'll be talking about you for years, long after you're dead. about the lives that you changed. Man, I wish I could just encourage you for hours and hours and hours, because I feel like so many in the body of Christ, and not here, not just here, there's some here, but in the body of Christ, have just felt so dejected. Some of them are so afraid they don't know what's coming. I tell you what's coming. Jesus Christ is coming again. I tell you what else is coming. Your provision is coming. Amen. For every day of your life. You know what else is coming? Your children are coming back to Jesus Christ. Yes. Or your grandchildren are going to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Your family shall be saved. Your family shall be saved. Okay, do you believe that? How about we start to pray like that in agreement rather than hoping and begging? We start to make a declaration according to the power of the word of God. Amen? Over every area of your life, this is what God's word says. This is what I'll have. We won't move from the truth no matter what I see, feel, hear, taste, or touch. None of it will move me from the truth. Because there's people that need you. And you're the answer for many. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ. And Lord, today as we step out of these four walls, let it be, Lord, that when we walk out, our eyes are just going to and fro. Our eyes are looking for one who is downtrodden. For you said that we're to go to lift up the head of those that are hurting. We're to find the brokenhearted. That's why you anointed us. And Lord, let us walk out. As it says in Matthew chapter 5, that blessed are the poor in spirit, knowing, Lord, that we have all power and authority, but it's not because of anything we've done, it's what you have done. For with your incredible wisdom and foresight, you sent your only begotten Son, that none would perish, but anyone that proclaims the name of Jesus would have everlasting life with you. And Lord, I pray that we know and we agree it's only by the blood of Jesus that freedom comes into our lives. Let us be those men and women that don't want to talk about anything else. We're not interested in what the world is running after, for they're all temporal things. But let us be interested in the souls of men and women. Let us be focused on renewing our minds. Let us stand on the power of the word of God, not move from it. Let us agree with it, even when our flesh is screaming. Help us to subdue our flesh, that we might walk in the Spirit. You said those that walk in the Spirit are the sons and daughters of God. And Father, I pray that we would walk in the Spirit all week long, that the flesh wouldn't guide, the flesh wouldn't control, the flesh wouldn't condemn. It wouldn't have an opportunity, because the words of righteousness, the words of life, the words of eternity, the words from another world will build us and strengthen us and remind us and encourage us, and they will completely transform us. So the only words that we speak are words that bring life into every situation. Whether it's life into a mind that has been corrupted, a heart that has been broken, or a body that's been abused, we know that one word from you changes everything. And Father, today I thank you for the body of Christ. I pray your blessing upon each and every one. Lord, we pray for the marriages here. Strengthen them now in the name of Jesus. Father, let them look up every scripture that builds marriage and let them stand on it and say, as for our house, we'll not move from what God has promised us. We made this decision for richer or for poorer, for sickness and in health, thicker or thin, whatever it is. We're going to stand on the promise of our God. For our children, Father, we're going to proclaim life, strength, power, beauty, authority, encouragement to every single one of them. Lord, for our grandchildren, proclaiming, prophesying over their lives what you have placed upon our hearts, knowing what they're going to walk in as we stand strong as those that have gone before them, and we do not move. We're not pushed around by every wind of doctrine. And the darkness doesn't come near our dwelling. Thank you, Father. And Lord, I pray that you would knit the body together. Knit our hearts, Lord, that we would truly learn to love one another. that our thoughts would always be about how we can go and be a blessing to another. Lord, whether it's writing a card, making a phone call, stopping over, dropping off something that they might need, let us spend our time thinking about others and how we can add to them. For you have given to us supernaturally, abundantly above all we can ask or think. Lord, let us be those that give our lives completely. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the body. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for their generosity towards the kingdom. Thank you that as they give, we're able to give even more. Around the world, ministries going on. In Haiti, one of the poorest in the Western Hemisphere, or the poorest. And yet, the body of Christ is present and the word of God is being proclaimed. Therefore, change is coming because of a body that gives. Thank you. Iraq and India, Egypt and Iran. Father, we get to give to the Philippines and to Guatemala. Thank you for the opportunity. Father, let our hearts just think, how much more can I grab a hold of so I can send someone else to proclaim the word of God, so that I can be one that goes and preaches the word of God on my street corner and wherever you call us. Lord, help us to realign once again. Take the blinders off and stop our ears, that we would hear the Spirit of God speaking to us morning, noon, and night. We want you, and we want to be used by you. Holy Spirit, come, fill each one afresh right now so that your name is glorified. Fill them afresh. Empower them. Remind them. Comfort each and every one of us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading us this week in the plan and the purpose of God. We give you the praise. We give you the glory for the victory right now. Before we see it in certain areas. Right now, we have the victory over sin. For you said that you made a show of the enemy openly. You destroyed all the works of the enemy. And therefore, he has no authority over those that proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. We truly are free indeed today. Thank you for reforming us today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.